I'm going to turn the meeting over to Helene to introduce our speaker, and I'm going to mute her.
Thank you, Jay. Hi, everyone. I'm Elena Benedict.
Hi,
Hi,
Elaine.
Ellen. Hi, everybody. So I'm driving and I'm on the meeting, and I'm so happy to introduce this speaker that has agreed to come and speak from across the pond. I've met this speaker a little while ago when I was venturing across the pond for discovering more beautiful meetings and more beautiful speakers, and I heard a very beautiful, strong message of recovery. So, with no further ado, Lovell, thank you for coming to share with us.
Thank you, Helene. Hey, thank you, from across the pond. Good afternoon, and good from America, and good evening to you all. I'm a recovering addict named Lavelle. I always
Hi,
say,
Lavelle.
Hi, Lavelle.
hi. Thank you. I always say before I share, I woke up this morning. That's gratitude. My feet hit the floor. That's gratitude. And because of the thinking, y'all helped me change. Everything else is downhill. If I change my perception, the way I see things, I'll change my perspective, the way I think about things. You know, and I say that, man, because like, look, being clean is a honor and a privilege, and it's not automatic. Being in recovery is an honor and a privilege, and it's not automatic. You know, and I say that, right? Because y'all told me it's never been in our literature, a grateful recovering addict will never use. But on page 86 of the basic text, second paragraph says, as long as we maintain an attitude of thankfulness for being clean, we find it easy to remain clean. And if you're struggling in here, if you're new here, check it out. The struggle is going to be not forever. The struggle is going to be for a little while, but it's easier to stay clean once we get clean. You know, and if you're new here, check this out. When I came, I didn't like me, I didn't like you, and I didn't like men, I didn't like women, and I didn't like me. And y'all told me y'all was going to teach me, y'all was going to love me till I learned how to love myself. And I came in here angry. I came in here full of rage. And somebody said, Lavelle, follow me. And he took me home, and he punched, he gave me a pair of boxing gloves, and he put up his punching bag, and he let me punch the bag while I was, he taught me how to punch the bag. And then he let me punch the bag. And while I'm punching the bag, I'm angry. I'm getting my emotions out. I'm getting my rage out. And after a while, it started turning into profanity. Every time I threw a punch, I would throw a curse word. And what happened was I wound up 25 years later, which is today. It's easier for me to curse at you than it is to punch you. Right? And I had a sponsor, and my sponsor told me, Lavelle, do you take a shower every day? And I felt offended. And he said, Lavelle, I need you to look. He bought me a do you have a full, do you have a mirror? I said, no, I use a living mirror in the bathroom, in the medicine cabinet. He said, let me buy you a mirror. He bought me a full-length mirror with my first paycheck, and he told me to look in the mirror for 15 minutes naked and tell myself I love me. And what he did was he taught me how to see me because I was filled of shame and guilt. Right? I lived foul, I acted foul, and I wasn't somebody that you really wanted to play with if it wasn't for us bottoming out what brought us here. Right? And check this out. I did that for 15 minutes. It took me like 18 months. And when I got to 15 minutes, I was all excited and I smiled and I had my head up and my chest out and I called him and I said, I got the good 15 minutes. He said, good, now do it for 30. And all the air went out of my balloon. But when I got to 30 minutes, I didn't want to tell him because I didn't want him to hurt me like that again. And check it out. What did I learn in these 3 years? I learned that no is a complete sentence. I learned how to follow boundaries. I learned how to see the hurt and the harm from the dirt that I did. And I learned how to accept me. I learned how to love me some me. Because when I told him I got it to 30 minutes, he said, good, now buy yourself some flowers, take yourself to dinner, and go to a movie. I do that once a month for 25 years. I don't know. See, I don't know who you are. I don't know how you get here, but check this out. A relapse does not have to be a part of your story. That's what our literature says. Relapse is not a requirement, but it happens. And if you got clean, if you stay clean for 5 years and you didn't work the steps and you go back out, you didn't relapse, you just went back out to using. Because recovery and relapse says we are our goal is recovery from the 12 steps is our goal, not mere physical abstinence. Recovery and relapse says when an emotional upheaval occurs, failure to practice the steps can result in a relapse. If I don't know what's an emotional upheaval, it could be a death, it could be the loss of a car, it could be even the loss of a job, it could be homelessness. But if I don't know what to apply, when to apply it, and I go back to use, I'm in trouble. So what did I learn from this? I learned that the steps is the antidote to our disease thinking. I was not an addict. And let me start here. Our literature says our reaction to drugs is what makes our reactions to drugs is what makes us an addict. So that means, Lavelle, when you used to take the cookies out the cookie jar, when you used to go in the refrigerator and take the oranges and eat all the, mom said, get only one orange, eat three cookies. And I used to take five cookies. And then when she said, how many did you get? I'd say, I had two. And did you go eat all the oranges? I said, no. And she said, just because it's in there, you don't have to eat it. And all of a sudden, I ate it. And all of a sudden, I lied. I said, I did it. I wasn't an addict. I was a kid doing what kids do. My mother was not my first sponsor because if y'all told me a sponsor is somebody to lead and guide me through the 12 steps. And if my mother taught me how to live the way that my mother wanted me to live, and all of a sudden I come into Narcotics Anonymous, I get a sponsor who's guiding me through the 12 steps, who's keeping me from doing drugs and trying to tell me what my mother tried to tell me. Isn't that a coincidence? See, I don't know about you, right? I came to Narcotics Anonymous. And, look, I got clean. I was born in South Bronx in 1959. There was no such thing as an addict or an alcoholic in any of my New York days, right? So all of a sudden, y'all told me this is where people come to stop getting high, to stop doing drugs. And all of a sudden, I come. So I want to stop doing drugs. I thought I wanted to stop doing. I started with one drug, and I didn't realize didn't want to stop doing that drug. So I went to another drug, and I didn't realize I wanted to stop doing that drug. So I went to another drug, and then all of a sudden, it's this drug that brought me into Narcotics Anonymous that made me say I need to stop doing drugs. And so I came to Narcotics Anonymous because y'all told me I would stop doing drugs. This is where people come to stop doing drugs. That's the way I heard it. So I knew y'all was going to stop me from doing drugs, and I came in 1995. And I stopped doing drugs. I worked the steps, and I went back out in 1999. In 1990, I came in 95. I went out in 99. And check this out. I didn't go out because I wanted to get high. I was doing service. I was going to meetings. I was sharing with my sponsor. I was sharing with my network. But y'all called me a junkie. And a junkie, by my standard, is a person who shoots drugs. And I didn't know anything else. So I had new, and we, what we call that newcomers, what we call that old timers, what we call that in between us is a newcomer's disease. What's the newcomer's disease? I'm first time hearing that. Newcomer's disease is I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I didn't do that either. I wasn't that bad, and I never been there. So when he called me a junkie, I went back out. He said, "We all junkies. We all go to jail. We all steal. We all get beat down, and we all ain't sexing nothing." All four out of all five of those, only one of them did not apply to me. I don't have a jailhouse story. I don't have a beat down story, and I don't have a stealing story. If you don't have a story like that, you can still catch this program, right? So all of a sudden I came back, and when I came back, I got another sponsor. And when I got in, and I came back in 1999, and when I got another sponsor, I realized what I did was I compared myself out instead of identifying myself in. So if a woman told the story, I jump in and out of cars and I suck dirty Johnsons, I can say I did that too, although that's not my story. I was the Johnson who she sucked, who got sucked. But the fact of the matter is, she told a story, and I got to be able to put it in my lifestyle in my mind, so I can stay here with y'all and listen to her again. So if you ladies, if a man tells a story, I went and I robbed a person, and I came and I stole a person. I threw it in the mailbox, and all of a sudden I had $64. The purse had $64 in it, and I could have got her driver's license for $500, and I could have sold her social security card for $500. I don't know how much I could have sold her credit cards for, but I chose not to do that. And I bought a pack of cigarettes, and I didn't buy any drugs. I just bought food to eat. If that's not your, if you can't, if that's, if a, if a man tells that story, identify with it some way, somehow. Because that's how we stay here. How do I know that's how we stay here? That was the last story was mine. The first story was when I heard. See, I realize now the reason that that person goes to the penitentiary, that person goes to jail, is because they did drugs or they did something to get another one. But that's not your story, Lavelle. But check this out. That's not my story. But I'm the guy who ate out the dumpster because I wanted to get drugs and I didn't want to spend money for food because that would interfere with my get high. Wow. Pain is pain, ain't it? And as long as I can identify with everybody's pain, guess where I'll be? I'll be in my seat. Yeah, I could duct tape my ass to the seat. And then check this out. When I got a sponsor that came back in 99, and my I'm across the pond from y'all, right? And my spine, and when you, my sponsor said, the first time you tell a story, call me and check this out. My sponsor was across the pond with you, and I'm totally calling him now to tell him I'm going to share my story. And before the readings are read, he's at my meeting. And then I give a drug log. You know, the one that newcomers give, because we're new and we're glad to tell our story, but we don't know how to tell a story without identification with the drugs first. Check this out. If you got a basic text, it says, many books have been written about the nature of addiction. This book is primarily concerned with the nature of, with the disease or the nature of recovery. If you have found this book, do yourself a favor and read it. Or give yourself a break and read it. So what happens when I tell my story and I have my drug log, and my sponsor said, Lavelle, that was a good story, but now the next time you tell your story, you shouldn't have no drugs in it. And I said, what, why not? He said, because your recovery should pick up. And so I would say, well, what do I do for identification? Because I thought that's why people tell a drug log, for identification. He said, check this out. We hit bottom, and now we're trying to learn to live without using. There's 26 of us in here. We all got that identification, don't we? And then the literature says, become our authentic self. So I said, if you're like me, I had fun. I held on to $1.50. You know, the first time I got high, I said, I got the shits and giggles and said, I'm going to die like this. So I had fun. I held on to $1.50. So I kept on using. Thought I was still having fun. I was no longer using the drugs. The drugs was using me. I thought I was still having fun, and I couldn't hold on to $1.50. I became jobless, homeless, and penniless. So I'm sleeping under the bridge. So I'm sleeping in abandoned. We call abandoned houses, people, the houses that people have moved out of it, and then they're empty. We call them abandoned miniums after we break the doors down and walk in the crowd, right? And see, when I told y'all I woke up this morning, see, I remember when I got done getting high, I would just lay there, right? And you ever been to a house, man, where it has carpet and people shit on the carpet? I hope I can use profanity, where people doo-doo on the carpet, and all of a sudden they walk over it and walk over it till they step it into the carpet. And one night I waking up and my head was in this pile of doo-doo that was stepped into in the carpet. So now I'm coming to Narcotics Anonymous, y'all. I woke up, but check this out. When I realized that happened, that wasn't the last time I slept on the floor in an abandoned minimum. All I did was take off my shoes and use it as a pillow. So today, when I say I woke up this morning, that's gratitude, because I'm actually going to sleep and I'm actually waking up. And check it out, when my feet hit the floor, that's gratitude, because I'm no longer sleeping on the floor. I'm getting out of a bed with clean sheets, with a shower beforehand. Yeah, I have a story. It says, I haven't showered. I took four showers. I'm sorry. Yeah, I took two showers, four changes of clothes in 7 weeks. That's a long period of time to not go without a shower. And I still want to do what I did. And I want somebody to do me, right? Of the opposite sex, I want somebody to do me so we can do this together. See, I owe look, women, if whatever you did, and men, whatever men did to you, if they have not apologized to you, let me apologize to you for all of whatever they did, because I was one of them. This is identification. And if this is your fifth or sixth time coming through here, and you picked your own sponsor, you picked your own sponsor, you didn't do the steps, or you did the steps, or you told them what step you was on going to do, and see, one thing that my sponsor told me when y'all told me, when I go out here, my addiction is going to pick up, and when I came back, what my sponsor taught me is my recovery is not going to pick up. Because recovery and relapse says, if I relapse, I miss something. It's time to start all over again. So if you do, if you're doing this for the fifth, sixth, seventh time, and you've been doing it your way, the way that y'all told me, my best thinking got me here, my pick is broke, then page 57 of the basic text, second paragraph, fourth line to the from the bottom, it says the home group is responsible for finding a newcomer a sponsor, period. It is implied, and then it goes on to say, it is implied and informal in its approach. Why is that? Why is it that the important Lavelle that you tell us that? Because I picked my first sponsor. He looked good, he sounded good. I didn't smell him. He looked good, he sounded good. I told y'all told me I had to have one. He was had a house, he was in recovery, he had 10 years clean. That's what I told was told the requirement was to find me a sponsor. And I went back out and used 21 months later, after doing the steps with him, after doing the service with him, after going to meetings with him. So when I came back in, the literature says, again, recovery and relapse are jarring. What are you going to do different? And then I got a sponsor. So I went to my home group, and my home group found me a sponsor, right? I said, I need a sponsor, home group. And then I was spent a month before the business meeting, in between the business meeting, I was sharing about who I was. I don't play well with others. I'm foul. I got this crazy. I still trick. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, when the month was over, they found me a sponsor. Informalness in its approach means it might be somebody I do not know, never seen before, but I want to be accountable to my home group, so let me be accountable to him. And what did he tell me? Well, he told me the number, how many days you got. I got 97 days. Anybody over 3 years, you can't touch. Why? You can't touch them. If you go back out and use, I won't sponsor you when you get back. Why? I'll help you find a new sponsor. How come? Because evidently you don't want what I have. See, so I don't know. See, I don't know why anybody comes to Narcotics Anonymous other than me, but I came here because I didn't want to get high anymore. I didn't want to eat out the dumpster anymore. I didn't, I look, look, I had a job paying $33 an hour. I had a job paying $50 an hour, and I would give it to the dope man so I would quit those jobs. And then I'd go to a day labor joint that paid $5 an hour, whatever the minimum wage was at the time. And at the end of the 8 hour day, I get a $48 check. And then they charged me $3 in cash to check. That leaves me $45. And then they got two pieces of chicken, two slices of bread, and a soda. I could get it with $3. That would leave me with $42. And I won't do it because it interferes with my get high. Y'all gave me a new way to see. And then you gave me a new way to think. I wouldn't spend money, right? Because it would interfere with my get high. But now I won't keep money in my pocket so I can pay the bills, so I have a free place to live at the end of the month. For the next 30 days, a new way to live, a new way to think. See, I came in here, all rules were meant to be broken. There was a way to break all rules. And all of a sudden, y'all told me, Lavelle, we're going to teach you how to be a member of society. But first, we're going to teach you how to be a member of society inside Narcotics Anonymous. So practice with us. Curse us out if you want to. We'll tell you we love you. We'll hug you. Don't put your hand on us, though. Because check this out. Lavelle, Poor spoiled. I had behavior issues. Poor spoiled and unloved Lavelle. And then I say, Sponce, why they call me poor? Why they call me spoiled and unloved? What were you doing? Well, I was trying to get in this conversation, and they were talking over there, and I went and jumped in that conversation. I almost got in a fight. Well, that's because you're not minding your business. You're trying to get in in everybody's Kool-Aid. You know, and so check this out. Then I realized that y'all said to me, Lavelle, hey, what you? We were sitting in the back of the meeting hall, and look, when I got clean, there was 310 meetings a week. And so they had a 10 o'clock meeting, a 12 o'clock meeting, a 3 o'clock meeting, a 5 o'clock meeting, and a 7:30 meeting, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at this one building. So we're in between meetings, and I'm smoking with my friends. We're shooting the bobo, and all of a sudden, all our meetings were in the dope trap, so we're shooting the bobo, and all of a sudden, dudes said, "Love, what y'all talking about? What y'all doing? Romancing? What did you? Were you at the other meeting? Yeah. What'd you hear? What was the meeting about? I don't know. What was the topic? I don't know. Man, put those cigarettes out. Get that conversation done with, and get back inside. Go to the bathroom. Get your coffee, and we get a reading, and sit up front, first three rows. That's what y'all told me. 25 years later, I still sit in the first three rows." I don't like to sit in the back because in the back we do the talking. And check it out. If I'm whispering to the cashews, right? And I've got a bottle, a jar of cashews right here. If I'm whispering to the cashews, then that means somebody's not hearing what I'm saying, because somebody's not hearing what is being said, because they hear me whispering. They can't tell what I'm saying. But the fact of the matter is that I'm taking their attention, because I'm whispering in their ears, but they're not paying attention to the person who's speaking, because they can't. I'm blocking their blessing. That's what I learned. So I don't talk in meetings, or I try not to, or I have a limited amount of conversation. If I come in and the meeting started, I'm not going to walk all the way around the room and shake everybody's hand and hug you, man. I'm going to stop at the door. I'm going to look for a seat, and I'm going to walk towards the seat. And if anybody wants a fist bump, I'm a fist bump and sit down. Because why? I understand 25 years later, I'm coming to the meeting to save my life, just like you're coming to the meeting to save yours, whoever you are. Right? And see, the one thing I know, and two things for sure, I did say recovery doesn't happen overnight. And why does recovery don't happen? Why does recovery not happen overnight? Because my clean date is March 10th, 1999. My recovery date is 2009, 10, or 11. I don't remember, but I was living foul from 1999 to 2009, 10, or 11, because the drugs was out, but my behaviors were gone. We're not gone yet. I haven't done any drugs in 3 years, and I'm still buying pussy. Excuse me, I'm still tricking. I haven't done any drugs in 2 years, and I'm still going to Walmart with a pocket full of money, switching prices. I haven't even done any drugs in years, and I'm still lying to him to for a re for no reason at all. I'm still lying to her for no reason at all. Check this out. I got a job, and you get 90 days probation. Now all of a sudden I got six sick days, and I go to and I'm sick, and nothing's wrong with me. I just wanted a day without pay. If you can't relate, excuse me for coughing in your ear. Excuse me. If you can't relate, just keep coming. Because this program works, and y'all told me I have to work in all aspects of my life. And check this out. What happens now is when I go to a meeting, I have to take my recovery with me. What does that look like? I went to a meeting in another state, and all of a sudden, man, they giving out the key tags, and I got my key tag, man, and then all of a sudden they start moving on, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in, and all of a sudden they going back to giving out the key tags, and then all of a sudden they moved on, and then all of a sudden there's a whole lot of talking in the room, and all of a sudden I can't hear nothing, and all of a sudden the guy that I was with that took me to this meeting, he put my name on the list, and all of a sudden they calling me, and I said, man. I said, where do they do that? Where they're giving out the key tags, and somebody comes in, and then all of a sudden they go back to giving out the key tags. And y'all never saw me. None of y'all can tell me y'all love me because you never saw me a day in your life. And you can't tell me that you don't know if I'm in here. You can't tell me you're going to try to save my life. And you can't tell me that you're not trying to help me die because I can't hear the speaker when they're speaking. Y'all hear that? And it was silent. And I said, that's what y'all told me an NA meeting's supposed to be. You're supposed to be able to hear rat piss on cotton. Y'all told me to take my recovery everywhere I go. And all of a sudden, some of the floor, after I shared that, somebody shared three or four people later, and they said, well, I was kind of, I'm one of the people that do kind of get a little disruptive at times. And because I said, I did say, if you got a problem with what I'm saying, talk to your sponsor or see me after the meeting. And somebody said that we can't get mad at something that we already know. Sometimes we get carried away. That's what that person said. See, I don't know about y'all, but I cannot get carried away in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting because y'all told me, y'all showed me how to live. See, and our literature says we're headed for a downhill spiral or something of that nature. And somebody said, "When after I share, everything else is downhill." Well, check this out. If you never know, if you've ever been sitting on a hill, if you're on a hill and you let a ball go, it'll roll down with no effort. My recovery is not rolling downhill. My thinking is downhill. Why? Because y'all told me if I'm not the problem, there is no solution, and I got that concept. My sponsor used to say, Lavelle, I go to him and I'm be screaming and hollering about this, that, and the other, and I said, oh, y'all's fault, and it's their fault, and it's his fault, and it's their. And he said, Lavelle, what's the five cliches? Think, first things first, but for the grace of God, live and let live, easy does it. What's the sentence, Lavelle? Think first, but live easy. What does that mean, Lavelle? Take a woosah. Grab your e. Just calm down, Lavelle. Everything doesn't work. The world doesn't revolve around you. When I walk into a room and all of a sudden people start laughing, they're not laughing because I walked into the room. They're not even laughing because they were talking about me. They're laughing because somebody told a joke and I wasn't there to hear it. Because they told the punchline, it must have been funny. If I walk into a room and people stop talking, they're not talking about me. They was having a conversation and all of a sudden I came in and the conversation was over. You look at me and I look at you and you make a face when I look at you and you've never spoken to me a day in your life. And all of a sudden I go to my sponsor, that mother don't like me. My sponsor said, why don't you ask them why? Because they don't do that. No, have you ever had a conversation with them? No, they ever said anything to you? No. So why do you know that? What makes you think they don't like you? Just ask them why. Okay, I'll ask them. Why did you look at me funny when last Tuesday when I looked at you and last Tuesday? Oh, I had a headache. I had a bad migraine. And I guess when you looked at me, the pain came and it came across my face. Wow. It's that simple. Life is that simple. It takes some time to get here, but this is where it is, right? Check this out. We're going back to the literature. But first, we're going to go back to the language. The language is, and the ultimate weapon for recovery is another recovering addict. Y'all heard that story, right? Check this out. For me to do what I did, I had to have a substance. I had to have a tool. I had to have a tool. I had to have a tool, and I had to have a tool. And y'all said, Lavelle, when you got high, did you have your tools? I said, yeah. They said, okay, Lavelle, if you use us like you use your tools, you'll never get high. What does that mean? I need a substance. That's Dom Spain. I need a tool. That's L-E-N. I need a tool. That's Helene. I need a tool. That's Hamari. I need a tool. That's Ashan. And if every time I felt like using, I call one of these numbers, because I got names for these tools, I call one of these numbers and I say I want to use, guess what happens? They stay on the phone with me. So now it's my turn. Guess what happens? I'll stay on the phone with you. And what do I do, sponsor? You get these numbers and you dial them, Lavelle, around the clock. What's what you mean around? What's the shifts, Lavelle? 3 to 7, 7 to 3, 3 to 7, no, 7 to 3, 3 to 11, 11 to 7. So you just dial numbers like shift work. You find out who you can call at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You find out who you can call at 12:38 in the afternoon. You find out who you can call at 2 o'clock in the morning, because check it out, everybody doesn't sleep nights. Everybody's not on the first shift. They're on the second shift. They get off at 11. They have just getting out the shower at 1. So all of a sudden, they'll have a cold conversation with me at 3. And guess what? If I really want to use, guess who'll be there? Yeah, y'all. Right? And if I really want to use and y'all really will be there and feel in the past, then guess what'll happen? I'll get another day. Right? This is my story, y'all. This is real life, how Lavelle stays clean. How Lavelle stayed clean. So the record, and I said the literature said that we say the ultimate weapon for recovery is another co-recovering addict. That's when we first get here. Why? Because the page 13 or 50, I think it's 13 in the fifth edition, 16, 15 in the sixth edition, the last paragraph, first sentence, the ultimate weapon for recovery is the recovering addict. Who is the recovering? The is a singular term. I have to be the recovering addict, because I already told you that Ellie, Elaine, Dom Spain, Hilary, and Ishan are in a meeting. I can't call them. God, I do have a God of my understanding, but he's not going to come right here, right now and help me. So guess what that means? That means I got to hold my own. To hold my own, right? It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a period of time. And it happens after doing the step work and knowing who I am, right? And see, there was I came from another place, right? I got here, but I was going somewhere else earlier and I forgot where I was going, so I'm just going to keep moving. Right? See, my sponsor said, Lavelle, read this sentence. Back to recovery and relapse. A relapse can be the jarring experience to bring a more rigorous application to the program. So, Lavelle, what's A in math? What? Well, how many? What's two? A couple. What's three? A few. What's four? Many. What's several? Seven or more. So, what's A? One. A job, a house, a car. Do you believe the program's in the book? And I said, yeah. He said, what is, read the sentence again. A relapse can be the jarring experience to bring a more rigorous application to the program. How many relapses have you had? One. So according to you, do you believe the program's in the book? Yeah. So according to the book, you don't have any more. See, when I got here, the sponsor read the book with me. Why? Because y'all told me my best thinking got me here. So if I read the book with my best thinking, I'm only going to get what my thinking has always gotten me. Right? That's what I've learned. Right? Because check this out. Y'all used to say, Lavelle, here's $20. We will be here when you get back. And I wanted the $20, but I didn't want to go get high, so I just stayed in my seat. And then later on, y'all would say, Lavelle, if we want to use, we'll call on you. And guess what I realized 10, 15 years later? This is not a program to help me keep using. This is a program that helps me want to stay stopped. If you use, please come back. But don't, but believe it, it's not okay. Because once you come in here and get it, once I came in here and I got a taste of Narcotics Anonymous, I realized I could not get high the same way again, and I didn't. I sure didn't. But when I went back out, I didn't cut no more throats. Male or females. When I went back out, I still ate out the dumpster. When I went back out, I didn't go to jail, penitentiary, or get a beat down. And I didn't start stealing. That's not because of something that I did. It's because of something that y'all did. Y'all told me some stuff that I heard. I just went back out because y'all told me I was a junkie, and a junkie doesn't know how. I don't know what a junkie is. I know what a junkie does. So I had to go do what a junkie does. What does a junkie do? A junkie wakes up with money in his pocket or dope in his pocket to put in his arm, according to the junkie that told me don't be a junkie like him. So I went out and practiced that. And I was able to practice it for 6 months, not 6 months in a day. And when I came back in, you could have called me a junkie, because I did tell a junkie by my standards. He asked me, why are you out here, Lavelle? And I said, because I'm a junkie just like you, man. And if looks could kill, I'd be dead. Because the way he looked at me, he could have killed me. Yeah, that's my story. So when I got in here, I got a network. And I got a net that works. How does that? They showed me and told me, Lavelle, you got bad behavior. Work it out of you. I was on Sixth Step. My sponsor said, Lavelle, take this, go to 10 people that you don't, that you just met, that you, and ask them what give you 10, go to 10 people and ask them for 10 things that they don't like about you. Then I'm on the seventh step. Go to 10 different people and task them for 10 things that they do like about me. Because the one thing I know, and two things for sure, this is a we program. Y'all help me with what I don't know. And what I don't know is what I don't know until it's time to know it. Right? I've got the blessings of learning how to live with through cancer. I have the blessing of learning how to live through a head injury. I have a blessings of learning how to live through a surgery. I had the blessing of learning how to live by following a doctor's orders when he said take a narcotic and not get high, Lavelle, and not abuse, Lavelle, and not relapse, Lavelle, and not change my clean date. See, y'all told me when I got here, if nothing changes, nothing changes. But the fact of the matter is, if nothing changes, Lavelle, your clean date will, Lavelle. I can't be in here the same person I was 25 years ago. Because if I was, I'd be the same fool. Did you realize that I've been talking for however long I've been talking and I hadn't said but two curse words? I didn't come in here like that. I really didn't. You know, I remember when I walked into a meeting one day and we all getting up, going back and forth to the coffee pot, and the dude said, y'all couldn't have got high with us. And somebody said, "What? Why not? Because you moved too damn much." That was as funny then as he was when he said it. That was as funny now as it was when he said it. And I've been laughing my way, smiling my way, and joyfully going through everything that I've gone through. I haven't gotten the joy in the early one. I got the joy when I learned how to live the program. Because it does say, in recovery and relapse, never have we seen a person relapse who lives the Narcotics Anonymous program. And then go back to the other sentence. As long as we maintain an attitude of thankfulness for being clean, we find it easier to remain clean. Now let's go to that third step. The second step came to believe that a power greater than myself can be restoring me to sanity. But the third step says to decided to made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. And I came up, man, with as a church goer. Didn't have no concept of a God in my understanding. I just remember my mother take me to church and I'd be saying like, I wish I can't wait till I get old enough. I ain't never going again. And all of a sudden I come to Narcotics Anonymous and just for the day living the program, it says 90 meetings in 90 days is a good idea. So I start going to 90 meetings in 90 days. How did I do that? Did I just tell y'all that one meeting hall had five meetings? And after we go to two of these meetings, we might go to lunch and then we're going to go to another meeting at another meeting hall or another meeting at another meeting spot. So I had to get used to what's that? That's the church hurt because every time the doors open, I had to go to church. So every time the doors open, I had to go to the meeting. So I got, thank you, Mom, for the practice that you gave me in the wrong way for the wrong reason, but for the right way for the right reason, because today I got a God of my understanding and it's the same God my mother introduced me to. And then I had to tell y'all about the God hurt, right? My mother said, if you hang out with those people, you're going to go to that place. And all of a sudden, I hung out with those people, and I wound up being in here in Narcotics Anonymous, where those people decided to try to live better so we could be spiritually connected to go to another place that's different from the place that my mother told me, according to the God of my understanding, because now I got the same God my mother got. And the God was my sponsor when I got here, right? That's a power greater than myself. Y'all are still a power, and he taught me that y'all are power greater than myself. And see, when I heard something in the meeting, y'all told me to take it to my sponsor. What I got out of that was take it to God. So he helped me understand what y'all were saying. He helped me understand how my behavior was acting. And all of a sudden, he said, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday this week, I want you to go to this meeting. Tuesday and Thursday, and next week, I want you to go to that meeting because I was done with step three and I was going on my way to step four. And so guess what? I didn't go to those meetings. And I said, 2 weeks later, I'm ready for step four. He said, okay. So we do step four. Now we cycling through the steps again. And I said, I'm ready for step four. He said, Tuesday and Thursday of this week, I want you to go to these two meetings. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of next week, I want you to go to those three meetings. And all of a sudden, I go to those two meetings. And all of a sudden, I went to those three meetings. And guess who I saw there? I saw God, but I saw my sponsor, right? And then I said, I'm ready for step four. He said, I know you are. Come on, let's do it. And I said, wait a minute. How come that wasn't your same? That wasn't the same reply you gave me last time. He said, Lavelle, if you're going to do something for somebody you can't, how are you going to do something for somebody you can see, can't see, if you can't do something for somebody you can see? That's when God became God. My sponsor became my sponsor. And y'all are still a power greater than myself. Did I tell y'all now I have 6 years clean? Right? And then all of a sudden, check this out. I remember when I was going to church with my mama. My mama said, God meets you where you are, right? So I said, God, if there's an MFU, show me an MF rain line. And guess what he did? He showed me a rain line. Do y'all know what a rain line is? A rain line is when it's raining right here. You take two steps forward and you're not in the rain. You take two steps back and you're in the rain again. You take two steps forward and you're not in the rain. You take two. See, I did that a few times, right? Then it stopped raining and he showed me a rainbow. And a rainbow is not, it has nothing to do with a gay flag, right? And I'll never talk to guys of my understanding like that again. But the fact of the matter is, that's when I got the God of my understanding, which is the same God my mother had. My grandmother introduced me to. Y'all told me when I got here, you don't have to have a God when you get here, but you have to have a God to stay here. And wait. Step 11 on page, what is it, four? Step 11, you look at step 11, you flip the page, you're going to go down to the second or third paragraph, you're going to see three dots before the sentence, and it says, for those of us who do not pray, meditation is a way through the steps. See, we didn't eliminate you who don't pray, you don't have to, right? And all I have to do is carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous, so I have to help you, and I'm still going to help you, and I have to accept you, and I'm still going to accept you, and guess what? We're going to stay clean together. You're going to help me stay clean, I'm going to help you stay clean, and that's how this program works. Each one teach one. We follow each other. Yeah. So, you know, all I know, man, is the Narcotics Anonymous will stop an addict, any addict, from using drugs, will help an addict, any addict, lose the desire to use and teach an addict, any addict, to find a new way to live. How do I know? Because check this out. I'm not the only clean addict in the world. There's more in front of me, there's more behind me, and there's a whole lot of us. We know how this thing works. How do we know? Because we keep coming to meetings, and as long as I come to meetings, I'm still going to get the help I need. I go to meetings because meetings still make sense. You know, and check this out, y'all. I don't know how much time I got, but I can keep going and I can keep going. But there was a brother. There was a gentleman. His name was Kerry C. He's deceased now. I have no predecessors. I am not a predecessor. Predecessors are people who died clean. Right. And why am I not a predecessor? Because if you follow me on any given day, I'll show you a right, wrong day. And you might see me trick. You might see me curse somebody. You might see me slap somebody. You might even hear me tell 15 lies for no reason at all. And you might see me walk in Walmart and change prices because the character defects are still there. I just learned how to get better with them and not use them to the detriment of my being. I'm a productive member of society now, right? But he used to say, why come to a 12-step program and not work the 12 steps? It's like going to the movie, sitting in your seat backwards. You missed the whole damn thing. And did I tell you that the steps are the solution to our disease thinking? Did the literature, did you read it in the literature? If you didn't hear me say it, and if you heard me say it, did you see it in the literature? Which makes it right. If I say it, it might not be right, but if you read it in the literature, that makes it right. Because it's the book, the basic text is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. If I follow the basic text, that's what Just for Today say. If I follow this way, I have nothing to fear. And tell yourself it's real important, Lavelle. See, a lot of us can read, but can we comprehend? And a lot of us can read, but can we read the punctuation? Like, tell yourself just for the day, the two dots means it's about to list something. So tell yourself, Lavelle is supposed to come down with every five sentences. Why? Because you're in a program where you don't like nobody, you don't know nobody, you don't really want to be here, and you got to tell yourself these five things. So you got to look for some people. Right? I didn't know I needed a heart transplant. I came in here spirit killer. I came in here joy thief. You know, I just got 25 cent raise. Yeah, excited about it. Well, gas is $4. That's only 10 a 10 cent. That's only $10. You can't fill up your tank. Damn. Why are you gonna take my joy, Lavelle? That's how I came in here. I ain't never had a job in my life. Wow, you a human leech. There's an insect leech, sucks blood. A human leech sucks money. That means you lived off of people. Did you ever? Maybe you just got started getting high early, so let me help you fill out a resume. If you've been to jail, what have you done? And let's put it in a resume form. I didn't come in here like this, y'all. Right? That's a spirit killer. I needed a soul transplant. That's you all. Y'all need to, I need, when my spirit needs feeding, I need to come to a meeting. When my spirit has too much food and need to barf some up, you know, throw up some, let me come to a meeting and help y'all. I can feed somebody's spirit, and somebody can feed my spirit at every Narcotics Anonymous meeting I go to. You know, there was a guy, he used to say every time before he shares, if you're not working on recovery, you're working on a relapse. If you're not working on living, you're working on dying. Guess what? I don't think I came in here to want to be stagnated, right? Just not get high is just not enough. You know, I had resentments, I had a reservation, and y'all told me like early in our literature, I think in Who's an Addict, it said resentments can rob us of the benefits of this program, right? And y'all told me resentments and reservations are the same thing. What's a reservation, Lavelle? I don't know if I don't know what I'll do if my mother dies. Lavelle, that's a reservation. Get it out your head. You're gonna stay clean if your mother dies. And guess what, y'all? When my mother died, guess what I did? I stayed clean, right? And check this out. I did a lot of, my mother never used a day in my life, but my mother had 13 years clean when she died. She never used a day in her life, but she had 13 years clean when she died. Because when the phone rang in the middle of the night, she was not wondering if it was the morgue or if it was the cemetery or if it was the police. She just knew it was somebody that could tell her she could wait till in the morning. So she kept on sleeping. Because when I would call my mother, I would call at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. She'd answer the phone. Hello. Hi, Mom. I just wanted to tell you I'm okay. I was just thinking about you. You sure, Lavelle? Yes. Okay. Go back to sleep, Mom. Good night. Good night. But I could hear the worry in her voice. And I'm sure she felt the desperation in my voice. Because a mother knows her child, right? And see, there was a guy, right? I thought he had more time than I did. He thought I had more time than he did. But either way, he'd tell a story every time before he shared it. And he told this one. Every night, the fastest lion goes to sleep telling himself, tomorrow I gotta outrun the slowest gazelle. Otherwise, I'm going to starve to death. And every night, the slowest gazelle goes to sleep telling himself, tomorrow I got to outrun the fastest lion. Otherwise, I'm going to be eaten to death. Either way, the lion or the gazelle, when they wake up tomorrow, they both know they better be running. That's where he stopped. So let me continue. One's running to stay alive, and the other's running not to die. I don't know if I'm the fastest gazelle or the slowest lion, but I'm still running after my recovery today as I was 25 years ago. So if you're in this meeting, if you're going to another Narcotics Anonymous meeting, remember, if you don't want to use, you're running not to die. Because today, when I got high, they had this drug, right? And they say, "Hey, the killer's over there. We all went over there. Everybody lived." But today, they got this drug, and it's called killer because you don't know if you'll live after you use it one time. So why not stay here and find out? You don't have to find out. The only way to not be old, to not grow old and wise, is to die young. Right? And the one thing I know, two things for sure, I came in here at 39. I'm 65 now. And boy, life gets good. Yeah, I go through whatever we go through is aging, the aging process in recovery. But our literature also says addicts today are more fortunate. What do they mean by that? Addicts today are more fortunate because today you have more addicts with 10, 20, 30 years than you did when I got here 25 years ago. Right? In this fellowship, because one thing I know and two for sure, Narcotics Anonymous is a program that can work for anybody if the desire to use is what you want to have. If the desire not to use is what you want to have to keep. Right? We can't measure no one's desire, but we can hear it. We can't hear if we can't tell nobody to work with their network, but we can hear it. We can't tell nobody to use their sponsor, but we can hear it. Why? Page 59 of the basic text says, "For those to whom sponsor, for those who get the most out of the Narcotics Anonymous program are those to whom sponsorship is important." And why is it that we talk about the book after we've been here so many times? Because the basic text never changes. And after a while, we start living the basic text, right? And we don't live it perfectly. We don't walk on water. We're not, you know what I mean? We're not perfect. This is the perfect program for imperfect people. But the one thing we do know is that this program works. Those of us who work the program know the program works, and those of us who don't work the program knows the program works because when they come back, if they go out, they see us here and we're still here. And I'm not being, I'm not trying to be harsh, right? Because see, when I got clean, there was a guy who spit out his penitentiary number. I think it was 10 numbers long, eight or 10 numbers long. One day I went to him and I said, "Why do you say that every time before you share? If anybody got to use Lavelle, better you than me." And there was a lady, she used to say she jumped out of the in and out of cars, right? And what he would do is he would tell his penitentiary number, and then he would say he's married, got a house, got two cars, and he's got his GED. And she would say she used to do Dirty Johnsons, jumping in and out of cars. Now she's married, got two children, and she's a member of the PTA. And I asked her, "Why every time before you share? Why do you say every time you say that before you share? Because if anybody got to use Lavelle, better you than me." And I found out in another state, I think it's Detroit, right? There's a guy that I met, and he says using looks better on you than me. And I had to ask somebody interpretate that for me, because that's how I came in here. I never asked for the interpretation. I said, "Somebody interpretate say that for me." Their recovery comes first. My recovery comes first. It's a selfish program, and then it becomes a selfless program. But the fact of the matter is, I'm responsible for hanging on to my recovery. Because they told me a person that's using will get me high long before I can get them clean. Right? And see, I don't know, like how I wouldn't feel if I didn't work the steps, because the literature says we have a feeling disease, right? And if and you taught me that how to put a face on a feeling. Because when I was in treatment, they gave us this paper and it had like 99 faces on it or 100 faces on it. I only knew seven of them the two times I came and the two times I looked at those faces. Today, I have a whole lot of understanding what a whole lot of faces are. You know, excitement, happy, mad, sad, confused, you know, man. And I remember going to a meeting and I said, I'm feeling some kind of way. And the guy said, see, when I got here, there was no such thing as cross talking. There was no such thing as sniper shaming. Because when you opened up your mouth in a meeting, it was what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. So I said, I'm feeling some kind of way. And the guy said, Lavelle. I mean, he didn't say Lavelle. He used two people shared later, and then he was the third person to share. And he said, our literature says we have a feeling disease. So if I don't put a face on a feeling, I might go back out and use. And then after the meeting, I carried my books to meetings because I still carry my books to meetings. He carried his books to meeting, and he had much more time than me, and I had 13 years at the time. And he sat outside the meeting after the meeting with me, and he showed me, and he made me, and he had me put nine faces on my anger. On that, I don't know how I'm feeling. I'm feeling some kind of way. Start off, I was feeling angry. And then we put nine other faces on it. You know, betrayed. You know, untrustworthy. You know. I don't remember, but I know we put nine faces on it. You know, see, I love this program because it taught me that little things don't have to be mole or mountains. They can stay little. Right? So some people will say freedom ain't free. But if I read page 22 of the basic text, it says second sentence on second paragraph from the bottom second first sentence. It said somewhere in there. It says, if I hadn't picked up today, if an addict doesn't use, that's a great freedom. All I had to do was get through the thinking and using without picking up, and I got some freedom. Yeah, it didn't. It wasn't gonna be easy, Lavelle. To not get high when you're going through something you don't understand. It's not going to be easy, Lavelle. And then there's a second part, first step, right? It says, after you, there's a second admission must be made. My life has become unmanageable. Check this out. Unmanageability has nothing to do with not paying your rent, Lavelle. Unmanageability has nothing to do with not being able to hold down a job, Lavelle. Unmanageability has everything to do with your emotions, Lavelle. Because if you're emotionally unbalanced, guess what's going to happen? You're going to cross the insubordination line with your job, with your boss, and you're going to get fired anyway. Wow. And then once you get fired, Lavelle, you're not going to pay your rent, right? Because you're going to want to know how to save, put money in your pocket so you can get transportation to go to your next job, wherever it is, whenever it is. So your priority would not have been to have a resume handy. Not as a, when I got here, not me. See, I'm only talking about my story. I'm only talking about me. But if you can identify with this, that's what we do here. See, I remember hearing you say, there's one thing you got to change, Lavelle, and that's everything. And all of a sudden, I realized, if I looked back, right, how many of us in here? There's 21 of us in here. I don't believe any of us learned, never did one thing right. So check this out. I learned how to tie my shoes at three. So if I learned how to tie my shoes at three, I remember going to my mom and say, Mom, I tied my shoes. And I'm looking down there with a big smile. She said, oh, Lavelle, that's right, you did, but they're on the wrong, your shoes are on the wrong feet. No, they're not, Mom. Yes, they are. And if you ever got a little kid, a baby, put the shoes on the wrong feet. They comfortable like hell. So, because that's what they did, right? And all of a sudden, I wound up putting them on the right feet, but I wound up doing it right. So when I realized I don't really have to change everything, do I? Well, whoever tells me that, if they tell me that, now I realize they didn't do a fourth step because in the step working guide, it says, We have assets and liabilities. Assets are the things we can keep. Liabilities are the things we want to get rid of. So what does that mean, Lavelle? That means that y'all told, kept telling me there's one thing I got to change, and that's everything. And I went to my sponsor and I said, "Sponsor, why they tell me there's one thing I got to change and that's everything, and you never say that to me?" It's time to work the steps, Lavelle. Y'all convinced me to work the steps by what y'all said to me when you said it. See, y'all told me that if I can only keep what I have, I can only keep what I have by giving it away. Yes, I'm giving my story away. But y'all told me, in order for me to get what y'all got, I got to do what y'all do. And y'all didn't say y'all was gonna push it at me. Y'all said I had to volunteer for it. I had to volunteer for service, although I got the where I come from is voluntold. Lavelle, you're not working on Tuesdays. No, good. Well, you can be the chairperson on Tuesday. Lavelle, we need somebody on the phone line. You work days. You work the first shift or the second shift? I work the second shift. Okay, then you can be the first the phone line person for the first shift. Wow. But guess what? Service kept me clean. I still do service today. I'm still volunteering for service. So, like, look, y'all, if you want to stay here and you want to do what we did, you want to get what we got, find somebody who believes in you and wants to help you in recovery so they can help you do what we do. Because there is one thing I know, and two things for sure. Never have we seen a person relapse who lives the Narcotics Anonymous program. The Narcotics Anonymous program is not a program, it's a lifestyle. And when I get this lifestyle and I practice it in my life, all my affairs, in all my affairs, y'all told me there's one thing you can guarantee me. The freedom from using drugs, the happiness of being clean, and the new way to live that comes with being a productive member of society. You teach me how to pray. I learn how to live inside Narcotics Anonymous by making mistakes with y'all. I learn how to live outside Narcotics Anonymous, the 22 and a half hours that I'm not at a meeting. Record for clean time is 24 hours. All I wanted to do is break my own record. My name's Lavelle. Thanks for allowing me to share.